This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Many would have said, well, of course, Isaac, he started out, you know, he was raised on a golden spoon. I suppose he was. But the reason he was raised in that kind of a home was because his daddy had followed God. My sons have access to some things in a greater way even than I did. Because my father came to the Lord a little later in life, and Dad would talk about the longer he walked with Jesus, the more favor God showed in his life because he walked closer to Him. And my boys, they are given favor in many ways because of what God has done in our life. You're righteous this morning. You're a godly person. God set you free of death, hell, and the devil. You have kingdom benefits of health and provision and favor. If you're a child of God this morning, then God has chosen you to be a part of His kingdom of those who are blessed. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Some people have a problem with an Abraham being so wealthy. They have a problem with Abraham having so much favor. They have a problem with Abraham winning his battles. When the enemy came in, God gave him victory. He was winning. Some people have a problem with you being a winner in Christ. They have a problem with the favor that's on your life. That's why we need to invite them to come to Jesus, because they should be jealous of our walk and our life with God because of the goodness of God in our lives. Should be jealous of us. Had a man come into my office one day. Known him for quite a while, and he called me McLean, which was quite fine. He said, McLean, I've been watching you for a while. Could you explain something to me? Why do you have such favor with God? He said, I have a question for you. Why is it that whatever you are pursuing, I've seen God time and time and time again make it happen. Why is that? I said, I'm so glad you asked. And this is what I had to say, Dylan. I kind of hate to have to say it, but it's the truth. I said, I'm really good at messing up. But I found out that if I quickly run to the Father, that I never lose His favor. I'm not smart enough to get it right a lot of times, But even when I blow it, if I quickly run to the Father, I have quickly restored favor. Have any of you learned this? And this was a man just saying, I don't understand. And I said, as a result of that, I've learned and I'm learning to stay in the favor of God. Some people, they have a 911 relationship with God. As long as I can handle it, things are going well, I really don't need to bother God with this. I will just press ahead and do it on my own. I'm not there, Ruddy. That's not where I am. And so their plan is, when everything comes apart, I'll call 911 heaven. God, help! And they live with that kind of a prayer life. I have found that God wants to be relational, just like with Adam. And what He wants us to do is to walk with Him in the cool of the day, in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day, to walk with Him in His presence and be relational with Him. And I found that the closer you walk, the less distracted I am by other things that are around me. And so I'm not going to apologize for the favor that I have, because I have been saved. I have been saved. I have been saved. I've been born again. I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I will not apologize for the working and the goodness, Rob, of the Holy Spirit that's in my life. I'm not going to be silent about it. Recently, I'm reading about someone that I love, I've known for many years. And as I'm reading about their ministry, their article says that we have mostly moved away from the emphasis on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. That we have mostly moved more to the middle of the contemporary message. I have not moved to the middle away from the Pentecostal message. I am on record this morning. I am moving with full pursuit to move closer to God and know more about the Spirit-filled life. So he's already blessed. He starts out blessed. He starts out, he's wealthy. He starts out, I mean, as we're reading about him, he already at this time is in covenant with God. He's blessed. And God tells him to stay where he is. And God says, I will bless you. In Jeremiah, I think you know this passage. Jeremiah 29. You know this passage? Jeremiah 29, verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Now they're under discipline. They're in Babylon. They're in a heathen nation. And I've had people tell me, I would not have children in these days. These are horrible days. These are terrible times. These end times. Look what God says to Israel. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters in Babylon. Well, what if Babylon affects them? What if they lose interest in our God? What if the wickedness of this nation jumps on us? Well, what if God delivers our children from Babylon? What if God delivers our grandchildren from the spirit of the Antichrist? What if God is greater than the demonic stronghold in Babylon? I'm here to tell you He is. He was, He is, He will continue to be. I do not see anywhere in the Word of God where God tells us that we should not be encouraging our families to stand, to marry, to have children, and to prosper regardless of the day that we're living in. I know others have other opinions. Also seek the peace. Oh, I missed this. Increase in number there. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Huh? Are you serious? God, you want us to pray for these heathens that they would prosper, that their economy would prosper? You want me to pray for these heathens? I didn't write it. It's what the Word says. Pray to the Lord for it. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Because if it prospers, what does the Word say? If it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets, diviners among you, deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. These are the itching ears. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans, here it is, you all know this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope. They're being punished for their hard hearts and their rebellion. And yet God says to the remnant that's in Babylon, He said, I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep living. I want you to understand that I have a plan to restore you and to return you back to your homes. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah, Isaac's blessed. Stay in this land. I'll bless you. Now we come to the next point, and that is the enemy hates the blessing of God on his people and will look for an opportunity to attack. Always does. And here we see it. The blessing of God comes under attack by that four-letter word, F-E-A-R. You know, it's the same spirit that's in our land right now, this morning, trying to divide and dissect and separate people of faith, keep people separated. Look at it. Promises there. Verse 5 says, Abraham obeyed me, did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments. Verse 6 tells us Isaac stayed in Gerar, so he's obeying God in that. And when the men of that place ask him about his wife, oh, here it goes. He said, what did he say? She is my... Didn't say wife, did he? She's my sister. Here's the son of promise, son of covenant. She is my sister. Do you remember somebody else that did that? Somebody else that fell prey to fear? How about Abraham? Remember that? Here's his son. This thing still isn't broken in the family. She's my sister. Because he was afraid to say. He was afraid to say, she is my wife. He's afraid to say that. He's under attack. The enemy tells him, you know, Isaac, you're blessed to have a beautiful wife, Isaac. You're blessed to have a beautiful wife. But you know what, Isaac? You're going to die. You're going to die if you say she's your wife. Look at this. He refused to say she is my wife. Now, I want to ask you a question here. And it's outside of the Word of God, but I just want to ask you a question. How many of you think God could have taken care of Isaac if he had told the truth? How many of you believe God would prefer that he told the truth? But how many of you know that even when he didn't, God was still sovereign? And God still loved him. And God still protected him. Even though he gave in to the spirit of fear. And when, look at this, he gave in to the spirit of fear, but the spirit of fear motivated him to become a liar. And he lied because of that spirit of fear. Once he gave place to it, the spirit of fear manifested. How is it that we might think that we could entertain a spirit of fear and it not find a place to manifest? If the enemy is bringing a spirit of fear, we need to recognize God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if the spirit of fear is not coming from God and it's coming from the devil, then the devil is desiring to release some kind of unholy natural motivation that will be a hindrance to us in our faith journey. Now look what he thought. He has the spirit of fear. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful. Now someone's going to say, well, God could have given him an ugly woman. Then he wouldn't need to have worried about it, right? That wasn't the answer. The answer was to recognize the spirit of fear. Church, listen, we need to recognize the spirit of fear and not bow to it any longer. Now, we've been talking to this, but as long as God prompts me, I'm going to keep talking to it because the church is still being buffaloed by a spirit of fear. And we're calling it coronavirus. Coronavirus has no authority over my life. Jesus has full authority over my life. The enemy will say, well, you might die. It's not a might. I'm going to die. But I'm not going to die at the enemy's schedule, on his schedule. He is not in charge of my life. He is not in charge of my days. He's not in charge of my health. He's not in charge of my wife. He's not in charge of my kids. He's not in charge of this church. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out from a window, saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she's really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? Now Isaac's going to tell him the truth. Isn't that nice? A little late. Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. Then Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? Now we have the ungodly preaching a message to the blessed. We have the wicked preaching to the anointed. How about that? That's like Jonah when he's on the boat. You remember what the sailor said? How can you do such a thing as this to your God? They preached to him. Here's Abimelech. How could you do this? How could you say this? What is this you have done to us? One of the men might have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who harms this man or his wife will surely be put to death. Have you thought about this, that Abimelech had the right kind of fear of God? You say, well, how is that? Well, he understood that it was sinful and could bring a curse, could bring guilt, if he or any of his people had an immoral encounter with Isaac's wife. He recognized that. He recognized he had a healthy fear. Even though he's not a righteous man, he has a healthy fear, understanding that this could have brought a curse upon his whole nation. He understands this to the point where he makes this order. He gives this order, like a decree, to protect Isaac and his wife and his family. That's pretty powerful. Isn't it interesting that in the church today, many Christians think they can do anything and there are no consequences? And yet, a heathen recognizes there are consequences to actions and decisions. Here Abimelech, he realizes this is a dangerous thing. You could have brought guilt upon all of us simply by his response to fear and then lying in regards to his wife. But God's mercy's on him, isn't it? Covenant still stands. Covenant stands. We see in verse 12 the next point. The blessing of God is going to be manifest. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold. You remember what was going on? Any of you remember? The year of the drought, right? The year of the famine. It's all in the land. Isaac plants his crop in the land. Well, I'm not going to take an offering this morning, and I'm not going to preach that this is making an offering donation. And I've heard that a lot of times from this passage. But I want you to notice what he did. He simply continued to plant seed as God had given him skill to do. He continued to work and believe God that God was going to bless him as he did what he knew to do. He actually went out and planted his crop when there was no means of a crop being produced. He simply believed God. I want to ask you to wholeheartedly, with everything that is in you, to choose to simply believe God during these days. To believe God. To believe God with your children. Believe God with your house. Believe God with your car. Believe God with your witness. Believe God with your family. Believe God. And continue to minister with the gifts and the seed that God has given you. And believe that the God of the harvest is God during tough times as well as good times. I'm so glad that John and Artie Johnson came back to Florida. You came back at a good time. There's no snow on the road and no ice, and you're not going to get boggled down. And Artie's going to be able to enjoy her hot tub. Only thing is, it's going to be hotter outside than in her hot tub. You came back at a good time. I believe now is the perfect time for us to believe God and to press forward. Isaac planted. He reaped 100-fold. He's a farmer. This is not 100%. It's 100 times. 100 times. If you have a dollar and you have 100% increase, you have what? $2. This is 100-fold return. And you go, okay, that's nice. He was already blessed, right? He was already in covenant. He already had wealth. But look at what verse 13 says. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. God doesn't have a problem with your wealth. I'm not going to read it this morning, but there's a passage that says that it was God's plan that there were not any poor among God's people. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And then it goes on to say, but the poor will always be with you. And that doesn't seem to make sense, because it says when you come into the land and you're blessed in the land and I provide all that you have need of, there will be plenty of resources so that there are no poor amongst you. And then just a few verses later it says, but the poor will always be with you. Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that Israel had seasons of drought and seasons when they didn't have even the bare necessities? It's because they neglected their God. They did not obey their God. They did not follow their God. They did not honor their God. And as they turned from God, God says, you want to do it your way? Then do it your way. But don't blame me for your drought. Don't blame me for your sickness. Don't blame me for losing your children. Don't blame me for losing your land. Because I gave it all to you, I offered it to you, but you've chosen to reject.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Put your trust in God.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Lead me. us has no end. You showed it time and again. Your tender mercies keeping guard over me. You wash away every stain. Love makes it plain. Your tender mercy is keeping guard. Your steadfast love has opened up my heart. You showed me, and I know you are.
Hey, this is Pastor Josh from Calvary Chapel in Palm City. We want to invite you to listen to our brand new radio program, Verse by Verse, on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. here on WCNO. We are super excited to share the teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Palm City with you. For more information, please visit 772church.com.
I confess to you, I've lived my life all wrong. I was number one, doing it my way, praising only me. But Lord, your love prevailed. You held me when I failed. When I heard your call, it brought me to my knees. You broke me of it all, and Lord, you set me free. And when I worship you, all my fears are gone. Everything is new. You and I are one, and when I sing to you, the power of the Lord covers all I do. When I worship you, so ashamed, I've wasted so much time. All that was to gain kept slipping through my hands and hiding from my eyes. But now I do believe your spirit lives. I won't be deceived, 'cause now I know the truth. You're alive in me, now I'm alive in you. When I worship you, all my fears are gone. Everything is new. With you and I, when I sing to you, the power of the Lord covers all I do. When I worship you, you wash me through and through. When I worship you,